And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. CBS News has learned one air traffic controller at Reagan National Airport was doing the work of two when a passenger jet and an Army helicopter collided. President Trump suspects an air traffic control mistake.
If a plane coming in is at 300 feet or 400 feet and a helicopter is training at 300 or 400 feet, why wouldn't they be up 500 feet higher? So I certainly want, and that to a certain extent is the air traffic controller.
All 64 people on the plane and the three soldiers on the helicopter were killed. Douglas Lane of Barrington, Rhode Island, lost his 16-year-old son Spencer in the crash.
He was just loved by everyone.
Lane also lost his wife, Christine.
She just was one of those people that could kind of plug in anywhere and just connect with people and, you know, build a real bond.
Several figure skaters from a Boston club were also killed. At least 28 bodies have been recovered. The plane's black boxes have not. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A Wisconsin professor recently wrote an article for The Nation detailing how Democrats can win back Americans without college degrees. Lisa Hale has more.
UW-Green Bay professor and chair of Democracy and Justice Studies said American voters know the economy isn't working, and Democrats have to offer something new to win the working class back.
What's happening is Americans, especially those like 10 million Americans that swing elections, are desperately voting for something to change. And as Democrats, we can do that, but we have to have the right vision and we have to offer something that's going to improve the economic livelihoods of all Americans.
Shelton made his comments on a recent edition of Civic Media's Rational Revolution with Mark Becker. It airs Saturdays at 2 across the Civic Media radio network.
Contradictions and confusion with the number of changes coming out of Washington in the federal funding freeze saga. The Trump administration sent a memo this week instructing federal agencies to pause payments on grants and loans. More than 20 states filed a lawsuit, and Wisconsin is one of the plaintiffs. The pause on payments would impact all kinds of agencies and programs, anything from law enforcement to Head Start. The White House confirmed to outlets that it was rescinding the memo, yet after that, reports said the administration still intended to carry out the funding freeze. Winter Salt Awareness Week ends the month of January with experts speaking truth on corrosion and damage to our infrastructure. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more.
From January 27th through the 31st, you can see a series of YouTube live streams featuring speakers and topics focused on the true impacts of salt and ways to be a freshwater advocate. Speakers include Abby Heilman from Isaac Walton League of America, Jess Swah at University of Wisconsin-Madison, and public works professionals from across the country and a panel of experts providing salting policy perspectives.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Wisconsin loses to Maryland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers had climbed to the number 17th team ranked in the nation after a recent 7-game winning streak, but they ran into a hot Maryland Terrapins team that has now won 4 in a row after beating the Badgers 76-68. Badgers head coach Greg Gard after another Big Ten loss on the road.
Yeah, I didn't think we started the second half real well. The stretch where it got away from us, you know, we had 3 or 4 possessions in a row where we missed some pretty easy looks. So some of them point blank, some good looks from three, and then they were able to answer. I think it was 57-56 at one point, and then they hit back-to-back threes and got some separation.
The Badgers women's team snapped an 8-game losing streak with a win at home over Michigan, 82-75. Baseball, Wade Miley is no longer with the Brewers. The 38-year-old lefty has rejoined the Reds on a minor league deal worth $2.5 million and should be ready by May. Wade Miley recovering from Tommy John surgery with sports on Mike Clemens.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Blue Monday has been a thing ever since a British psychologist came up with it 20 years ago.
Today is the day to rewrite the lyrics to Blue Christmas.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'll have a Blue Monday when it's cold.
Nice, nice. That is my new favorite thing.
Yes.
Right there. That was awesome.
See you in the bumpers.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper 20s, and more sun, but not as warm tomorrow, high upper 30s. Breezy and cooler Saturday with some snow showers. A mixture of sunshine and clouds into Sunday, highs in the low 40s. Right now it's 53.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers criminy.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, John Dietrich joins us, Journal Sentinel investigative reporter, with his latest piece on gun violence in Wisconsin. It's important. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazines for this Thursday, January 30th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. At 4:30, we're going to welcome in our friend Allison John Jack Cranberry, Outreach Specialist with UW-Madison Extension, right now with us on the phone line, 77th Allison Dairyland. Haley Heinzel joining us right now. Haley, how you been?
I've been wonderful. Thank you so much for having me today.
It's always good to have you with us, whether it's in studio or on the phone. We love catching up with you and hearing how things are going. We got a bunch of great topics today. Got an interesting one we're going to get into, too. But before we dive into any of that, how have you been? How are things going? I understand you've been doing some major traveling.
Absolutely. It has been going really wonderful. I'm just over 6 months as Allison Dairyland. That's over 20,000 miles by car so far, traveling across the state of Wisconsin and into the Midwest. But I did just get back from some very big travels overseas, actually. I was traveling to Singapore, Malaysia, and Vietnam, representing all of Wisconsin agriculture with a special focus on Wisconsin ginseng products.
Haley, what were some of the things that stood out to you about your trip?
What was really interesting is Singapore and especially Malaysia were much newer markets for Wisconsin ginseng. So for anyone unfamiliar, the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin handles a lot of the marketing of Wisconsin ginseng products. Ginseng is Wisconsin's state herb. We produce 98% of the cultivated ginseng in the United States, with 85% of that about being sent over to Southeast Asia for consumption. The Ginseng Board of Wisconsin markets Wisconsin ginseng, but they don't actually sell it. So they work on behalf of ginseng growers, helping to sell those ginseng products and opening up new markets for those growers rather than actually selling the product directly. So we were doing kind of a trade mission of sorts while we were over there. Malaysia was actually brand new. The Ginseng Board of Wisconsin had never been there before. So we spent a lot of time getting to know the culture much better, how they enjoy using Wisconsin ginseng products, and some of those new markets that we can introduce ginseng into. A lot of ginseng over in Southeast Asia is used for traditional Chinese medicine. And so we visited a lot of Chinese medicine markets and got to see how ginseng is being sold currently. Right now in Malaysia, they have a lot of Canadian, Korean, and Chinese ginseng. So we're really excited to be introducing Wisconsin ginseng into those markets.
It's fascinating. Really interesting to hear. And I don't think a lot of us knew that about Malaysia, that they're new to this and everything. So that there's an open market that we can tap into as well. And, you know, certainly cranberries hit close to home for us here in Wisconsin. As Haley noted there, 98%. That's such a great number to hear again. And here locally, even more local in Rapids, we like to consider ourselves kings and queens of cranberries around here. So you're really hitting some of the hits for us with this, Haley. We appreciate that. And I got to ask real quick, because I know that when you sign up to try to be Alice, and we're going to talk more about Alice applications a little bit later, you know that travel is a part of it. Did you know that you'd be going outside of the states here and traveling across the country?
When I was initially selected as Alice in Dairyland, I always kind of knew it was something that was maybe possible, but it's never, ever set in stone. Every year as Alice is something different. So just because Ashley went to China doesn't mean that I was guaranteed a trip outside of the country. I found out in mid-fall that it was something that was possibly going to happen, pending lots of different approvals from different groups. And so it was really exciting to get to do that in January. Really the opportunity of a lifetime. I do certainly hope to get to travel back to those countries at some point in my life again and really experience them. But there's only going to be one time in my whole life I'll ever get to travel to Asia with a tiara on.
That's a great point. That's a really good point. I'm happy for you. And I'm happy for not just that, but certainly our ag industry and being able to really make a good impression with a whole new market. That only leads to a better economy and a better for our whole state, especially our ag industry. That's very cool. Nice work, Haley. Nice work to you and everybody that traveled over there. Haley, we're about to dive into a topic that journalistically I have to mention. I have come out on the air many times and mentioned I am not a potato guy. I love French fries. I like potato chips. But something about potatoes and mashed potatoes, it's just never really been my thing. And I've never really gotten too into them. But in recent years, I've tried to be more of an adult and eat more foods and try different things. And between you and I, Haley, I don't mind potatoes that much anymore. Like it turns out they're quite a bit of fun. They're really good, and there's so many different things you can do with them. So we'll dive right into this one, Wisconsin potatoes, and let's touch on this topic.
Yes, and it's really good that potatoes are starting to grow on you. Wisconsin is third in the nation for potato production. They really lend to the diversity of our agriculture industry, that $116.3 billion. And potatoes are playing a key role in that. We may be third in the nation, but we are first east of the Mississippi, meaning that Wisconsin really dominates eastern markets. We don't have to fight with Washington and Idaho quite as much over here on the eastern half of the United States. Mm-hmm. And what I really love about potatoes is not only do they lend to the diversity of agriculture, there's a diverse way to use them. Like you said, you can have them fried, mashed, boiled, baked, stewed, and so many more ways. And French fries and potato chips and tater tots are absolutely great ways to enjoy Wisconsin potatoes. No matter how you like to consume them, you're still helping to support those Wisconsin potato growers and Wisconsin farmers.
You hear that, Mom? See, Haley, say, Allison Dairyland said, I'm still, no, that's a great note there, Taylor. We do appreciate that. Now, this time of year, we are enjoying time together and supporting our favorite sports teams. Since Wisconsin potatoes make the perfect addition to our celebrations, got the Super Bowl right around the corner. Can you tell us what is so special about the versatile vegetable?
Potatoes really are the perfect addition to any indoor tailgate party this time of year as an appetizer or as a main dish on their own. Wisconsin farmers, we grow about 6 different varieties of potatoes: russet, round white, round red, yellow flash, blue and purple potatoes, providing consumers really diverse choices for all potato needs, even when shopping local. And not all potatoes are created equal. Some are better for some things than others. Like, not every potato is going to make the best mashed potato. You can find more information about that on eatwisconsinpotatoes.com. They have a great chart on there telling you which potatoes are for which type of baked good. Wisconsin is the third largest potato producing state in the nation, and potatoes are very low in calories, high in fiber, a great source of vitamin B6, vitamin C, and antioxidants. My favorite fun fact about potatoes is that they actually have more potassium than a banana. Bananas have a very good marketing team. I'm hoping to change that. They are a great source of potassium, and they also help to power athletic performance. So when you're using Wisconsin potatoes, you're gaining great nutritional benefits and also supporting local Wisconsin economy.
All really strong points and a wonderful. I love rare random facts, Haley. That was awesome. I don't think I've ever heard that before, that they have more potassium. I'm with you on this one. I'm going to help promote that too. I'm right behind you on that one. That's awesome. It's very interesting and really good notes there about how different types of potatoes, how they can benefit us in different ways. I think a lot of people, I know for a fact, a lot of people enjoy potatoes and everything, but I don't know that we think that much about the health benefits and a wide variety of those very often. I appreciate you breaking that down.
Yeah, and I really love that potatoes are kind of a blank canvas when it comes to cooking as well. Not only are you getting all those great nutritional benefits, there's just so many different ways you can enjoy them. And one of my favorite pairings for Wisconsin potatoes is, of course, Wisconsin dairy products. If we're thinking mashed potatoes or baked potatoes, sour cream, cheddar cheese. There's so many ways to really incorporate Wisconsin dairy into our potato enjoyment. And I have a really great recipe for those of us who maybe don't enjoy potatoes as much, but still use Wisconsin potatoes and Wisconsin dairy products. I was in high school last month talking about potatoes, and I did a Wisconsin potato and chocolate chip cookie recipe.
Ooh.
So, of course, uses Wisconsin butter. You make chocolate chip cookies almost exactly the same way you would make them any other time, the flour, the butter, all that. Then you're going to add into the base a half a cup of instant mashed potatoes. You're not going to be able to taste them, and you're almost really not even going to be able to tell the texture difference. But after you bake them, they're going to be much more tender, a soft, chewy cookie. And if you're not the best baker in the world, kind of like me, and you overbake the cookies on accident, it's going to lead to a nice soft cookie. They're very hard to overbake. So they end up crisp on the outside, tender on the inside. And then right before you throw those in the oven, when you mix in your chocolate chips, you're also going to mix in half a cup of Ruffles potato chips. And so it's kind of like those anything but the kitchen sink cookies, a little sweet, a little salty, a great way to use Wisconsin potatoes.
Haley, you may not know this about me. I am a cookie connoisseur. I am one of the go-to for information on cookies. I have not heard of this one. I have to try that. That sounds amazing. That sounds like a really good one. And as long as we've got you going with the recipes and everything, what is another fun recipe you're using with Wisconsin potatoes?
This one's a little more savory, but is going to be a hit if you have a big game party coming up next weekend. A recipe I'm excited to share is cheesy chili stuffed baby red potato bites. They are a hearty and delicious way to use Wisconsin potatoes. You boil the baby red potatoes, and then you cut off the top and the bottom so they sit nice in the baking dish. You scoop a little bit of potato out. You can save that for other recipes, turn it into mashed potatoes. It's really up to you. Then you mix together chili and cream cheese. You can make your own chili, or you can buy it at the store. Fill the potatoes with that mixture, top with shredded Wisconsin cheese. I like cheddar personally. And then you bake until the cheese is melty. The really cool thing about this is you can prep these ahead of time. So you can fill them with that chili mixture, stick them in the fridge, and then the day of the big game, pull them out, top with cheese and bake so they're ready to go. They're the perfectly crisp potato, gooey cheese, and flavorful chili all combined to make a great appetizer or a main dish.
Haley, you really knocked it out with this one. That is, I mean, it's got a little bit of everything in it.
Absolutely.
That sounds good. And want to remind everybody that these recipes and these things that we're talking about, you can find more at AllisonDairyland.com. That's AllisonDairyland.com. Be sure to follow them on social media. We'll give you more of that information before we wrap up, as we are speaking with our good friend Haley Heinzel, 77th Allison Dairyland. And Haley, where can you go to find more information about Wisconsin potatoes or unique recipes like we've been talking about here?
If you're interested in learning more about Wisconsin potatoes and ways to use them in recipes, you can visit eatwisconsinpotatoes.com. And I've heard some people aren't super cheering for the teams that are playing next weekend, but I like to say if you can't root for the Packers, you can root for Wisconsin agriculture and consume Wisconsin potatoes on that big day.
It's a one way of still supporting your state and really your state team, agriculture. You know, that's a big
Absolutely.
One right there. Those are great notes by you. As far as, you know, we got a little time here, Haley. If you don't mind, I'd like to get some additional information in about this subject, because I find it really interesting, and I know the audience does too. And we don't get the chance to talk to you as much as we'd like to. So let's go ahead and dive into nutrition and health of Wisconsin potatoes. And we've touched on this a little bit, but just hitting these notes a little bit more.
Potatoes are great tasting, and they're also great for you. They are free of fat, gluten, cholesterol, and sodium. They can be used as a great substitute for rice and pasta as a gluten-free option for those of us who are a little more gluten sensitive. They are full of vitamins and minerals. They have complex carbohydrates. They're only 110 calories per serving, so if you're being calorie conscious, potatoes are also a good option. They're the incredibly versatile vegetable, one of America's favorite vegetables, I think, just because of all of the different ways that you can use them. And they provide the most nutrients per penny of all vegetables. They're incredibly affordable. It's so easy to go to the store and just pick up a bag of potatoes to take home. And it's always okay if you're at the grocery store and you want to really support Wisconsin potatoes, but all you're seeing are Idaho potatoes. go talk to your grocery clerk. They are happy to point you in the right direction. Something that's also really great about Wisconsin potatoes is that the Wisconsin Potato Growers has a healthy grown program, meaning that our potato farmers are really taking care of the environment, right? Those potatoes have to grow in the soil, and the potatoes want healthy soil just as much as we do. And so potatoes that are part of the healthy grown program, you know, are being grown with the best environmental practices in mind.
I appreciate you bringing that up so much. It feels like we don't talk nearly enough about our ag industry and how much they're working to have a healthier, better planet, how much attention they pay to this topic. And that's a really interesting note about this, along with just the complexity of potatoes and how much they offer. I would think that even people that have been eating them their whole lives and certainly have enjoyed potatoes, they're learning some stuff with this. Do you have any other Wisconsin potato statistics for us?
On average, Wisconsin produces about 63,000 acres of potatoes annually. That's a lot of spuds. And our potato farms are multi-generational family farms. So just like our dairy farmers working on, grandparents with grandkids together on the same farm, our potato farmers are exactly the same way. Another really cool potato fun fact, potatoes were actually the first vegetables to be grown in space. And not only that, those potatoes came from Wisconsin, from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Wow. They have a great potato research program there.
That's fascinating. I didn't know that. I knew that they were grown in space. They were the first one grown in space. I didn't know they came from Wisconsin. How cool is that?
Yes. I get asked a lot by kids in the fourth grade classrooms if we grew them out in, zero gravity with no oxygen. But that is not quite the case. They were grown on the International Space Station, and they did quite well. But yes, Madison's very invested in the future of agriculture in Wisconsin, and potatoes are a big part of that.
And nobody produces more on this side of the Mississippi.
Nope, no one produces more than us. When you look at the top 10 producers of potatoes in the United States, east of the Mississippi, you have to go down several more states before you'll find another state that produces a lot of potatoes.
And as I was touching on this before, I did want to hit on this one more time, how our farmers are stewards of the land.
Yes, no matter what our farmers are growing, whether they're raising dairy cattle or growing potatoes, our farmers care a whole lot about the environment. They are using practices that are developed by our universities that are doing what's best now, and they're always looking for what's best in the future, whether that's rotational grazing or growing of crops. They are doing what's best for our soil, best for our water, best for our animals, and best for all of us when they are growing those crops.
Buy local, support local. That includes our ag industry and certainly includes our potatoes. Enjoy them, everybody, whether it's for the big game or just your dinners coming up here this week or anything. You've got a lot of great options, thanks to Haley. And Haley, we're really enjoying talking with you, getting to know you and everything. But it does feel like as quickly as we get to know our Alice in Dairyland, you guys have to move on and go to the next big thing in your lives. And we appreciate the time that you're able to put into these. We are already looking at who might be the 78th Alice, as we have applications open and just a limited time to be able to fill those out.
Yes, it is really exciting. I'm already 6 months done with my term as Alice. That means that I only have 6 more months to go. I'll be wrapping up in early July. But that does mean we are looking for 78th Alice right now. If you want to apply to be Alice in Dairyland, get those applications in. They close tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. Tomorrow, January 31st at 4:30 p.m. You can head to the Alice in Dairyland website. There's an application on there. And you'll email that to detcapalice@wisconsin.gov. All you need is to be a woman over the age of 21 years. You want to have at least 3 years of experience in communications, education, and agriculture. And I always say you want to have a passion for what you do. It's really hard to be Alice if you don't really love Wisconsin agriculture.
Yeah. And those are great notes, Haley. I appreciate that. I just like to piggyback on it a little bit. I believe that you're my fourth or my fifth Alice that I've been able to interview. And when I first started asking this question, this would come up. I was curious about the type of people that would be really good suited for this. You touched on it a little bit there. One thing that I've come to learn is if you hit those qualifiers that Haley just mentioned there, it does. All are welcome. People from all kinds of different walks of life have been really excelled at Alice in Dairyland, at being the Alice in Dairyland.
Absolutely. During my year as Alice, I was the only top candidate who didn't come from a farm or wasn't raised with a farm background. And that's A-OK. I still became Alice. But our Alices come from dairy farms, from beef farms, from vegetable farms, or from no farm at all. Alice really can come from anywhere. And some people who run for Alice have wanted to be Alice since they were in kindergarten or maybe even before that. And others, like myself, only found out about the Alice program 2 or 3 years ago. It really is just about being a passionate person, a people person, an agriculture person, and wanting to share the message that supporting our local economy through agriculture is about the best thing you can do.
And as we've heard over the years from our Alice in Dairyland, this is so much about being the face of our ag industry and really being able to promote it on a different level that we just appreciate and see the benefits of so much. But I did want to take a moment and just talk about the individuals and how much this benefits them. And really the platform this gives you, the experience this gives you for whatever you do the next stage in your life, the things that you've been able to gain from this are only going to help you excel at whatever it is that you do next, Haley. Would you say that?
100%. It's the opportunity of a lifetime. And we have those 6 top candidates who vie for the role of Alice in Dairyland. Even if you just make it through the top candidate process, the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protections awards you a marketing communication certificate, which is something you can put right on your resume or your LinkedIn, which is already going to help you with your next career move. But if you become Alice, there is so much professional development throughout the year. Just in the last 6 months, it's incredible how far I've come from those first couple radio interviews. You hit the ground running, you know, learning more about being an ambassador and being on TV and the radio and social media and writing. And there's just so many skills that you gain so quickly in such a short period of time. And not only are you doing a lot of learning, you're also having a lot of fun while you're getting paid to do it. I don't think everyone realizes this is my full-time job for 1 year. So I do work for the Department of Agriculture. The job pays $45,000 a year. That's fully public information for anyone to know. Mm-hmm. But you're also getting to work with big companies and share agriculture on sometimes a national and international stage, which not many people at my age have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, all strong points, Haley. And, you know, the opportunity for young people to make connections, it doesn't happen that often. With something like this, you are just doing that like almost every day. It's all noteworthy and a great opportunity for any young person out there. Encourage you to find out more about this. Whether you'd like to invite Alice to an event or you want to become the 78th Alice in Dairyland, all that information is available for you at aliceindairyland.com. Haley, if people have other follow-up questions, is there other ways to get in touch with you or find out recipes or other things?
The best way to get more information from me is emailing datcapalice@wisconsin.gov. We're happy to answer any question you have about applications or otherwise. Or you can head to the Alice in Dairyland social media pages. That's Alice in Dairyland on Facebook and Instagram. I'm always doing something new and fun, having an adventure in Wisconsin agriculture, and I love to share with everybody.
And do a favor here, everybody. When you see those posts, subscribe to her pages and all the social media and share them on your pages. You just never know who might see them otherwise. We appreciate you, Haley, so much. Already looking forward to hanging out again real soon.
Thank you very much.
Safe travels out there. Take care. We will be back with more Midday Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. My savings tip for today is about meal planning. I know you've heard of it, but let's talk about it. Meal planning will save you money, it reduces impulse purchases, it helps you not waste food, and it may be the very best thing you can do to cut back on your weekly spending. It also helps cut back the number of arguments we have in my house about what's for dinner. A writer of a recent Reader's Digest article said that she saved herself $500 a month on meal planning. I mean, we all eat differently, but those are some real savings. I know, meal planning can be a pain. So I reward myself with a treat while I plan. A beer, some ice cream, maybe a recipe magazine. And in my house, the planner does not have to be the shopper. That's real motivation. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin Republicans have introduced legislation that would require state employees to return to their offices. The bill would require all state employees and workers at the University of Wisconsin system to return to the office by July, as many continue to work from home. Governor Tony Evers has expressed opposition to forcing a return to the office, saying remote work allows state agencies to hire the best candidates from anywhere in Wisconsin. Employees who were allowed to work from home before the pandemic would still be allowed to do so. You can help brighten February for Wisconsin veterans, but you've got to get on it today. Savannah Tome Olson explains how.
For the third year, the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is hosting this program where people can send Valentines to show their appreciation to veterans for their service. They'll then be distributed to vets across the state. Last year, people sent 28,000 Valentines to Wisconsin veterans. That's so many that just organizing them all for distribution is a big effort. And these cards weren't just from people in the Badger State. They were from all over the country. They'll be given out at the veterans' homes in Chippewa Falls, King, and Union. And for the first time this year, they'll also be given to the folks at the Veterans Housing and Recovery Program locations in Chippewa Falls, Green Bay, and Union Grove.
Changes could be coming to Rib Mountain State Park. The Greater Wausau Prosperity Partnership is working with the DNR to develop a trail network concept plan for the park. The plan will be consistent with the park's property master plan. The trail network plan includes concepts for a multi-use community path, shared-use trail, hiking trail refinements, bike optimization trail, ski area expansion, and snowmobile trail realignment. You can provide feedback on the plan through March 2nd on the Rib Mountain State Park webpage. There will also be a public informational meeting on Thursday, February 13th at the North Central Technical College in Wausau. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Most people probably remember MTV's Tom Green Show in the early 2000s. According to the New York Post, the host comedian, who also acted in the awful Freddy Got Fingered, left Hollywood in 2021 and now lives on a farm in Ontario, Canada. Green says it was the best thing he ever did because he is not a Hollywood guy. Green has a new documentary called This is the Tom Green Story you can check out on Amazon Prime. Not sure if Timothy Chalamet is getting a taste of the proceeds from resurgent Bob Dylan songs, but it sounds like he should because he's the one resurging. Chalamet plays Bob Dylan in the Oscar-nominated film A Complete Unknown and hosted Saturday Night Live last weekend while also appearing as the show's musical guest. The Oscar-nominated actor played the song Tomorrow is a Long Time, one of his personal favorites. The song did not even appear in the film, but is at number 63 on the iTunes Top 100. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper 20s, and more sun, but not as warm tomorrow, high upper 30s. Breezy and cooler Saturday with some snow showers. A mixture of sunshine and clouds into Sunday, highs in the low 40s. Right now it's 53.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, actor Rick Overton from Groundhog Day joins me to discuss Groundhog Day. Then I'm joined by Chris Hopper and Kurt Krause from the Door County Film Festival. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, January 30th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff here, welcoming on the studio phone line, Allison Johnjack, Cranberry Outreach Specialist with our good friends at University of Wisconsin-Madison Division of Extension. Allison, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me this morning. I'm always glad to join.
How you been?
Very, very good. It's been a very productive winter season so far in the cranberry world, both from extension standpoint and from the researcher's standpoint and from the grower's standpoint. So getting a lot done and doing our best to stay healthy as we move through the colder months.
Good to hear. Good to hear. And certainly, you know, we're a little biased about cranberries here in central Wisconsin, especially here in Wisconsin Rapids. We were actually just talking with our Allison Dairyland a little bit about the cranberries and a little bit how much we love them around here. But while we're really proud of them, one of the things that I think is also really interesting is being able to dive into the logistics, the nuts and bolts about cranberries and talking a little bit more about them. And one of the things that I found interesting was the cranberry school. In this successful cranberry school, and that's kind of where we're going to start, Allison.
Absolutely. So annually, our cranberry, the entire cranberry community, so that's made up of the Growers Association, which does have its headquarters in Rapids, since that's where we have the most cranberry acres in Wisconsin is right here in Wood County. So the Cranberry Growers Association, as well as UW-Madison and Extension and the USDA, all along with obviously all the vendors and people who have their livelihoods helping to support cranberry growers in their farm operations, all kind of get together for 2 days in the middle of January. We met at the Dells, just over two weeks ago now, and had a really wonderful time with 325 attendees. It's a really lovely. Bring everyone together. All of the industry that supports cranberry growers were able to have a trade show. There's the pesticide training for growers who are ready for their recertifications to make sure everything stays safe and happy in that world. And then a lot of research presentations and a lot of networking. So it was really good to get everybody together. And feel free to ask more specific questions if you've got I know I just kind of gave the glossy overview, but I'm happy to dive into anything, too.
I appreciate that. Thanks. And Allison, one of the things that I appreciate about this, too, and the information you bring to us is something like this. And I whether you work in the cranberry industry or not, whether you like cranberries or not, you hear that. And I have to think that I'm not the only one that hears, well, that's for the betterment of all of us, whether we're talking about our economy or our ag industry, whatever the we may be talking about, sharing of information and being able to make connections that you might not otherwise without this school is vital to the future of our ag industry, our cranberry industry, our economy.
Absolutely. And all across Wisconsin, all across all the sectors. And I am also proud, of course, Wisconsin being the nationwide leader in cranberry production. We did have people fly out from Massachusetts and New Jersey just to attend this show. So it always feels very good.
That's a great note on that. And I want to piggyback off of that, Allison, because this is something that we talk about, you know, traveling or sharing of information, but there's not a ton of categories where we're number one and people are coming to us for information. I find that very interesting, but also I think that's a real credit to the industry itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have really progressive growers in Wisconsin, and I think one of the more kind of shining gem moments of this cranberry school in particular was a grower panel where growers who have been trying out using drones for their input applications gave a presentation. They'd, you know, been trying it out for a couple of years and now said, okay, we have enough information to share back with the rest of the grower community. And so that was really popular as people are starting to think, are there ways that we can get our applications made and get our, measurements taken and that sort of thing faster or with reduced manpower? And so that was really well received by everyone.
That's really interesting.
And we're grateful for the growers who shared.
Yeah, yeah. To see how, and this is something that I really credit Matt Lippert with, him really opening my eyes to this, and the tech world and the ag world and how much they are hand in hand and working together and making it better for all of us.
Yes. And that's one actually that we, as the cranberry growers who started this, or who have been the pioneers in that world, saw it working first in cornfields, and saw, okay, there are people who have little businesses that have drones to make applications on contract for different corn growers, and kind of at first said, you know, well, maybe we could have someone do contract for us, but then realized, okay, we need a little more. I need it to say it has to be today, and therefore I should have the drone myself rather than have a contractor. But seeing that sharing across the ag sectors as well, when you see somebody else with a good idea saying, well, how can I bring this good idea to make my farm better?
And it's something that's noteworthy, certainly in this in part of the industry, but really throughout the whole ag industry, this has been noteworthy for quite some time. And I think it's, again, it's interesting, it's cool, but it also, it helps our economy, helps our ag industry. It's truly a win-win kind of thing. Speaking of helping the ag industry and that, Allison, I was just looking at the temperature and it's almost 40 degrees right now in the middle of January, at the end of January, I should say. And that throws you a little bit, especially longtime,
yes,
you know, Midwesterners like
yes,
us and
does.
Everything. I'm curious of the,
yes,
because of this stuff, how the ice conditions are, you know, helping or not helping this year and how that differs from last year.
Well, I have to say, even though I hate to see it be 40 degrees today, this winter is so far a lot better than last winter was.
Hmm.
One of the important practices that cranberry growers take advantage of is every fifth year or so, they'll put down about a quarter inch layer of sand. And this layer of sand covers the vines a little bit and gives them a hormonal cue to send out more runners and get fresh growth. So kind of like a grape grower, like vineyards do pruning. We don't have to go out and physically prune. We just bury the old tissue with sand and let that spur the new growth process. At the same time, making that sand application covers up old leaves from prior years and gives us an extra, you know, an extra cushion. It buries old pathogens. It buries bug seeds a little deeper. And so this super, you know, natural, easy, well, I can't say easy, but this very straightforward, I can call it centuries old because they noticed this happening naturally out in Massachusetts. So centuries old practice really gives us a big boost against disease, against insects, and toward having fresh growth. So we love every winter. If it was a cranberry grower's ideal world, we'd have a really great cold snap and we'd put up 18 inches of ice. And then we could get out and do that sanding while also letting that ice protect the vines from the cold. A person hates to see it be 40 today, but it does look like our ice is going to survive in most cases, since it looks like we will get to dip back below freezing again before too long here. And so right now, after last winter, people have their sand, and in generally that sand comes from the cranberry marsh property itself. So it's usually on farm sand. That's the, you know, the natural counterpart to the marsh there. So everyone kind of makes a pile of their sand and they filter it to take out big rocks. So everyone had their sand ready to go last winter and did not get to do sanding to speak of at all last winter. So this winter we kind of have even a little more sand ready because we want to make up and kind of do 2 years worth. But it does look like we will at least get, for a majority of growers, get that basic level of sanding in. We're very grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
After I kind of, you know, as you say, it's been this way for centuries, having last winter really startled a lot of people and said, okay, if we don't have ice, what are we going to do to get our fresh vines? What are we going to do to get our pathogen protection? What are we going to do? And so that's actually one where we've with Extension, we have virtual brown bags, and I actually hosted a grower panel this December with growers from Washington State and from Massachusetts and New Jersey to kind of share that information. Hey, if you don't have ice, how do you get sand out? And so their answer is barges. And so they bring it out like floating on water. And so all cranberry growers in Wisconsin right now are saying, all right, I hope it doesn't come to that. I really hope it doesn't come to that. But at least we were able to share that information and we've got a place where we can start thinking and we can start developing new machinery or whatever might be needed. In case the world does develop that way, we're not going to be caught flat-footed.
You know, this, and I think this is so key, not just with this industry or with the ag industry, but just in general going forward. And I find a lot of encouragement in what that answer you just gave, and not just, again, for those factors, but just as a human being. I just find that very cool and very interesting. And I'm also a big believer in silver linings. And while we wish that last winter was different and the ice conditions were certainly different, it sounds like there were some positives to come out of that.
And I think we have the same kind of belief in, you know, the human power of rising to the challenge and making the best of a bad situation. And I'm always glad when we can share with growers in other regions, when we can share ideas of what's worked. And I do think that does bring nationwide our industry a little closer together when we can say, hey, you know, we're facing similar challenges. How do you work through these? And so I'll take that. I'll take that as the silver lining. If last winter needed us to get startled in order to reach out, hey, I'm glad we reached out, and I'm glad we're making those connections now.
And just like with information and the importance of sharing that, and how much that a rising tide raises all boats, so can encouragement. So can, you know, you can be as you touched on before, kind of a lighthouse at the end, a light at the end of the tunnel here. Encouragement. Well, if they can do this, maybe we can. Or what they're doing there, maybe we can with our industry. So not just with the cranberry industry, but other ag parts of the ag industry in general can be a real, you know, really encouragement to people out there that are struggling with this.
Very much so. One that is in a... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead. Please.
I was just going to say there's a similar vein. There's an organic grower who's a little north, I think, Oneida County, that will often go to other organic conferences, not just within the cranberry industry, because that's a fairly niche market and there's only so many people to share with. But he saw people using geese to eat weeds. And he then said, well, I'm going to try that too. So we had an organic grower this summer get weeder geese to basically eat the weeds in his new plantings. And he can't have those in his production beds because obviously you can't have live animals in the food chain. But as long as he has those out 2 years before he starts producing harvests from those beds, and usually a bed takes 4 to 4 years to make a full crop. So those first 2 years after he plants, he now has geese walking around eating about 90% of the weeds, and that seemed really cool.
That is
a great way to share.
Yeah, that is really cool. And I maintain there aren't many more creative people than people in this industry. Just the creativity is awesome to see, and really great to hear. We're speaking with Allison Johnjack, cranberry outreach specialist with our friends at UW Extension. I'm curious, Allison, do you think that the sanding is a culture is going to get bigger or be more of a prevalent going forward?
Well, I mean, as far as sanding, I want to say 100% of growers do it. I actually got a call. When you plant a cranberry bed, you expect that to keep producing for 50 years, for 80 years, for 110 years. The only reason you'd make a new planting is if you want to change varieties. And the way that we keep our beds in production for 100 years, it couldn't happen without that sanding practice. If you weren't sanding, if you think of like a lilac, you know, those lilacs, they get, if you know like an old farmstead where they had lilacs and then no one's living in that house anymore, and those lilacs just get taller and taller and taller, and they only have flowers in like the very outside edge. And then you kind of look through and the rest of the lilac basically is just dead old wood. It would be the same with a cranberry. If you never sanded it, you would never get your old tissue would just build up forever, and the old tissue doesn't produce as much fruit. So we have to sand in order to keep those vines able to produce for 100 years.
I tell you, I do my homework for these interviews, and I still learn stuff from you guys every time you join us. That's so interesting. Thank you for that, Allison. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
We have an appreciation as well we want to send out for our local irrigation and water management companies out there.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I was inspired at our cranberry school having, for the first time in several years, that double track. So we had not only researchers present, but also a few experts in cranberry infrastructure, and we had people present on some new, you know, field information. But we also had presentations on irrigation design in cranberries. And while that focuses on frost protection in the season, you know, in the growing season, it also does include that infrastructure that's required to let the cranberry growers put a flood on when we have a cold snap and they want to take advantage of that cold snap and make ice as fast as possible. So I just, you know, people who are based in the central Wisconsin area, so, you know, when you see Wisconsin Flowgate or Tessman Brothers Irrigation or Roberts Irrigation and then Timewell on the drainage front, like when you drive past those places, when you see those trucks, you can smile and say, hey, I'm really grateful for the extra, the expertise and the knowledge that you have and that you're able to share with the cranberry growers to help make the cranberry growers' lives easier and help keep Wisconsin Rapids and central Wisconsin and Wisconsin as a state, you know, top of the industry and make everybody's lives a little bit better.
You know, years ago, we had two owners ago, we had a new ownership coming in and we were going to be changing a lot of things here at the station. And I was talking to him and I was thinking a lot about our ag industry and a lot about what we do here at WFHR for over 80 years. And one of the things that stood out to me is we are like the ag industry. We are locally grown. And Marcus loved it. And mm-hmm. We use it as a tagline to this day, locally grown radio. But along with that, the buying local, supporting local, and how important that is to us. And that certainly it runs even deeper when we talk about our ag industry. I don't know that there are many industries that bleed into everything else in our lives like the ag industry does, whether we're talking about the food that we eat and we feed to our loved ones, or we're talking about our taxes, our economy, or anything else. And all of that being said, this doesn't happen without certain key companies, without certain individuals out there that don't get highlighted very often. I appreciate so much you doing this. And when we talk about buying local, supporting local, it extends farther than some of the things that you think of off the top of your head, or your mom and pop shops, or just, you know, even looking for the Made in Wisconsin red label on products and stuff. Those are very important. But just like as Allison was mentioning there, these great companies as well that really are supporting of what we're doing here.
And the expertise that you can't find, like it is really, really vital to have supporting industries be lockstep and local with the work that's being done. That's the best way to solve problems when you can see what's going on. And we're just really grateful. Obviously, cranberries are a niche industry through and through. And, you know, as we talk about sanding and we talk about like, well, maybe I'll build a barge. And it's very individual sees a problem and an individual solves the problem. Nobody else is going to solve it for you. But those local partnerships and the local expertise really allows us to do that with a tight feedback loop. And so we're very lucky.
It's a really nice point. And you just made me think of, those original growers, those first growers of cranberries in this area, in this state, to think of, I don't think anybody could have imagined how big not only this would be to our state, but how much pride we'd be able to take in it, how much, we'd be able to really use this. Cranberry Blossom Fest, so many of the different things that we have around here that are extend from the cranberry growers. And that's something else that's noteworthy to this, too. That's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just really love the fact that we grow cranberries exactly where nature wanted them to grow. We said, well, what can we do with this land? Well, there are already cranberries growing here. Let's try to see if we can make it a little better. Mm-hmm. And the native fruit of the state really, I feel obviously so proud, and I'm glad that I'm able to share that pride with so much of our community.
And, you know, we follow Mother Nature's lead, the great things that can happen, you know, it's really something.
Absolutely.
Allison, always love talking with you and hanging out with you. Looking forward to hanging out and talking again really soon. If people have follow-up questions, they would like to know more about some of the topics we've touched on here. How can they reach you?
Absolutely. So fruit.wisc.edu has a lot of the kind of the local, the recent deeper dives. If you go to fruit.wisc.edu and then /cranberries, or there's a button you can click on for cranberries. You can also email me, which is allison.johnjack@wisc.edu. And then another fun thing, if you really like to dive into agronomy, we have the Cranberry Back to Basics kind of little program that consists of about 30 little videos that we like to offer when cranberry growers hire new people who aren't familiar with the cranberry industry and want to get that quick agronomic background, if you Google cranberry back to basics, you can look through that and find some pretty fun, intros to a lot of the world of cranberries. So I'd encourage people to check all of those out.
Yeah, I second that. I got to check that out a little bit myself, and I really enjoy it. And I do my homework for these interviews. I feel like I know a lot, and then I talk to you, and I'm like, I just learned like 18 things. I really enjoy it. And you do a great job, Allison. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care, and we'll talk again real soon.
All right. Take care. So long.
Big thank you to our friends over at Extension joining us like they do. Big thank you to Allison and the whole team over there. We'll say hi to our friends at Extension. We're going to wrap up Midday Magazine tomorrow. We'll have a great one lined up for you. In part one, Amy Schultz of Girl Scouts of Northwestern Great Lakes is going to be joining us. That'll be a great one. And in part two, we wrap up the week with the Charles and Joanne Lester Library in Nakusa. Darla Allen going to join us. Our good friend Darla going to be here. That's going to be great. Wonderful way to wrap things up. Be listening for that and more. And keep in mind that you can find our podcast of all these interviews, past and present, at civicmedia.us. Just go to civicmedia.us, go under shows, Midday Magazine will pop up, click on that, and you'll be able to find these. Not only be able to listen to them yourself, but share them and share these interviews on your social media. You never know who might see them otherwise. And we'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a TGIF edition of the show. Mr. Zimmer will have a board game of the week and review the day's headlines. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. One air traffic controller was doing the work of two when a passenger jet and an Army helicopter collided near Reagan National Airport last night. President Trump blames DEI programs.
Are you saying race or gender played a role in this tragedy?
It may have. I don't know. Incompetence might have played a role. We'll let you know that. But we want the most competent people. We don't care what race they are.
The NTSB's J. Todd Inman.
Right now, we're going through the debris fields. Nothing we've seen would indicate that maybe slides or chutes were deployed. It was a very quick, rapid impact.
40 intact bodies and parts of others have been recovered. This traveler at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport in Atlanta isn't worried about flying.
Anytime there's an incident in the immediate aftermath of it, people are going to be even more careful and aware of what's going on than under normal circumstances. So I kind of feel a little bit better about it. Sounds like a horrible thing to say, but...
CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kaye.
A Wisconsin professor recently wrote an article for The Nation detailing how Democrats can win back Americans without college degrees. Lisa Hale has more.
UW-Green Bay professor and chair of Democracy and Justice Studies said American voters know the economy isn't working, and Democrats have to offer something new to win the working class back.
What's happening is Americans, especially those like 10 million Americans that swing elections, are desperately voting for something to change. And as Democrats, we can do that, but we have to have the right vision and we have to offer something that's going to improve the economic livelihoods of all Americans.
Shelton made his comments on a recent edition of Civic Media's Rational Revolution with Mark Becker. It airs Saturdays at 2 across the Civic Media radio network.
Contradictions and confusion with the number of changes coming out of Washington in the federal funding freeze saga. The Trump administration sent a memo this week instructing federal agencies to pause payments on grants and loans. More than 20 states filed a lawsuit, and Wisconsin is one of the plaintiffs. The pause on payments would impact all kinds of agencies and programs, anything from law enforcement to Head Start. The White House confirmed to outlets that it was rescinding the memo, yet after that, reports said the administration still intended to carry out the funding freeze. Winter Salt Awareness Week ends the month of January with experts speaking truth on corrosion and damage to our infrastructure. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more.
From January 27th through the 31st, you can see a series of YouTube live streams featuring speakers and topics focused on the true impacts of salt and ways to be a freshwater advocate. Speakers include Abby Heilman from Isaac Walton League of America, Jess Waugh at University of Wisconsin-Madison, and public works professionals from across the country and a panel of experts providing salting policy perspectives.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.